have your Bibles this morning, if you would find again the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel is in the Old Testament. You do not have a Bible. There's one in the pew in front of you. It's a black hardcover book. Feel free to take that and find the book of 1 Samuel. I do not have the page. I apologize. If you'll use the front glossary there, you'll be able to find the book. Then locate chapters 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22. Say, Pastor, you only have 30 minutes. I know, don't get too excited there. We'll be all right. I'm thoroughly enjoying the study of the life of David. David is a marvelous man of God. David is a man. He does have his victories and his defeats. The whole life of David is not rosy, and it's not perfect. But neither is my life, and neither is your life. It's inside those successes that we rejoice with him, and it's inside those sorrows and those defeats that we weep with him. But if there is anything that we can do, I do think we can identify with him in numerous areas. I introduced David to you on the first Sunday of the month of October when we preached a message entitled A Man After God's Own Heart. God himself said that he was that kind of man. God himself said, I have sought me a king, I've sought me a man. By the way, he was only a boy at that time, but he had a man's heart, had a man's heart to know God, had a man's heart for God, had a man's heart after God's heart. And God saw that. When no one else saw it, God saw it. His own father really didn't think that much, that highly of him. Some of you know what it is for an earthly parent not to think highly of you. It's a shame in the society we live in today that parents do not think more highly of their children. But I want you to know something. The God of heaven thinks highly of you. And I don't care who you are, the God of heaven sent Jesus Christ to die for you because the Bible said, for God so loved, who, church? The world. You say, Pastor, I don't know human love. Oh, but there's a love that surpasses human love. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. So we're introduced to David, a man after God's own heart. Paul, centuries later, years later, in Acts chapter 13, the young physician Luke is recording one of Paul's messages. And in the middle of Paul's messages, he makes a statement about David. For the second time, it's recorded that David is a man after God's own heart. And then the Spirit of God enables Paul to add a tagline there. The tagline says, he allowed God to fulfill his will. And we looked at the thought of a man, if I truly am a person after God's heart, then there is a delight and an openness and a submission to God fulfilling his will in me. And not only in me, but through me. And I delight to do the will of God. We follow that out of 1 Samuel 16 and the 1 Samuel chapter 17. And David is introduced now to Goliath. And we saw he was a man after God's own heart, but he's a man after God's glory. We looked at that last week. And we said, if you're going to be a man after God's glory, that man has a viewpoint of faith. And the glory of God can only be accomplished by faith. And we saw him face the giant. And we watched him become a giant killer, not in his own strength, but in his faith, coming to them in the name of the Lord, recognizing the battle to be the Lord's. And so we looked at those. And you end chapter 17 in a marvelous, excited, hopeful, visionary position. I want to preach to you what I believe to be another attribute of the life of David. Not only was he after God's heart and God's glory, but he was a man after God and God alone. A man after God and God alone. When you leave chapter 17, David is the great conqueror. He is the new substance for the songs that are being written. And I leave chapter 17 and he's the great conqueror, and I open up chapter 22, if you would, in 1 Samuel. And I see that David now moves from conqueror to cave dweller. In verse number 1 of chapter 22, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. The very fact that I read the words escaped, and the very fact that I read the word cave and departed. What happened, Pastor? 5 chapters earlier, he is the great conqueror of Goliath, the great hope and the great hope restorer of Israel. in five chapters now, he's a cave dweller. How did he come from conqueror to cave dweller? We're going to look at that today. We would assume in the 17th chapter and verse 58 that David's life was about to only get better. You and I have been in places like that. Whew, if we could just get over one hump, life's going to be better. If I could just pay this one bill, life would be better. If I could just get rid of, well, you know what that would be, you know, amen. Life would be better. We always are a little bit assuming in our thoughts about how life is going to get better. Well, we find ourselves that way when it comes to the life of David. Verse 58, he's conquered Goliath. Saul is interested in him. He's been anointed king. He's getting ready to be moved into the kingdom. Life should get better and go forward. But as we will scan chapters 18, chapters 19, chapters 20, and chapter 21, you will find that David's life didn't go far. It went backwards. It is amazing what takes place in these four chapters. You say, well, Pastor, what on earth could possibly happen? Conquered a cave dweller. I mean, the enemy must have come against David something fierce. No, we're going to find out that it wasn't the enemy that stood in the way of David's life going forward. It was God himself who did this. You see, David is a man after God's heart. He's a man after God's glory. But God wants to make sure that he's a man after God and God alone. You see, sometimes it's very simple for us to be all about the things of God. I hear people pray all the time, Heavenly Father, and there's nothing wrong with this, but if this is the extent of your prayer, it is, Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me this. Thank you for blessing me this. Thank you for doing this. And we're so excited about what God is doing that we never stop to say, thank you for being God. And so we find ourselves so enamored about the things of God and Christianity that we kind of use those things as a confidence to get through life, almost like crutches, and we go forward in God's glory. But God wants for us to see him and him alone. And so God begins to work on David here. It is phenomenal what he does to David. But I do think there's some relation to you and I. I want to show you today the path to Adullam. The path to Adullam. How in the world did he get from conqueror to cave dweller? All right, we find the beginning of that in 1 Samuel chapter 18. If you would look in verse number 10. In verse number 10, an evil spirit comes upon Saul. David has just gone out and behaved himself wisely. He's gone out and killed his 10,000s. They're writing songs about him in verse number 8. Verse number 9, and Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Saul was extremely jealous. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand, as at other times, the harp that is, and there was a javelin in the Saul's hand. There was a weapon there. You know what the javelin is. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. In chapter 18, David is quickly awoken to the fact that Saul's nuts. Saul's out of his mind. That Saul has an evil spirit. And Saul's tried to kill him now with a javelin a couple of times. And David is beginning to sense that the Saul that's in verse number 58 that takes him in and cares for him is now not the same Saul. And so he's being sought after. Look at verse number 12 of that same chapter. And Saul was afraid of David. Boy, let me encourage you. Normally, the people are after you because they're afraid of you. And let me flip it around. A lot of times, people that we're after you because we're afraid of them. Jealousy gets in our heart. Envy gets in our heart. We get afraid of the success of others. So we go and we tear them down. There's Saul right here. He's afraid of the success of David. And he's going after them. Look at verse number 12. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Now, you got to imagine, here's what Saul did. Saul was very angry at David, but at this moment in time, he couldn't really do anything. So he took this young boy and he put him in the army. And even though he was the great champion of Goliath there and the killer of Goliath, he puts him in thinking that the army would handle him, thinking that there's no way he would have a maturity level strong enough to handle those men. Yet we read in the Bible that the Lord was with him and David behaved himself very wisely. And that and Saul began to get very angry with David. God uses that for a five-step path to Adullam. And God begins to allow Saul and others to remove the crutches and the confidences of David's life, and God's bringing him into a position where all David is going to have is God and God alone, and God's preparing him because he's got a great work for him to do. Look what happens. Now walk with me. You're going to have to turn some pages, but they're not many. They're one. 1 Samuel chapter 19. Look at verses 8 and 10. You'll see here the first thing David loses. There was a war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house and with his javelin in his hand. And David played with his hand. Again, David's there. Saul's already tried to get him twice. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence and he smote the javelin into the wall. And David fled and escaped that night. Here David is. He's in a position of leadership. He's in a position with this army. He's in a position of serving Saul. And in this one night, he realizes that his position is over. He loses that tremendously powerful position. That position that made sense to him. Well, I'm going to be king. And so if I'm going to be king, it would only make sense that I'm a warrior. It would only make sense that I'm with these men that are going to serve me. So really, this is a good place for me to be. And there David is in that position. All of a sudden, it's gone. You know, sometimes God removes us from positions, doesn't he? It's very simple to put our faith in our position and not in the Lord Jesus. It's very simple. It's very easy to be secured by a good job and a weekly paycheck and a 401 and a 403 and an IRA and whatever else. That's all I know. And all those other ways that you can go. It's very easy to sit in position and have security. Here we find God removed that security from David. David lost his position. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse the very next verse, David did exactly what you would do if you lost your job. If you're a man and you're married and you lost your job and it was pulled out from under you and you didn't know why, where would you go? You'd go home. Look at verse number 11. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and he fled and he escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he's sick. Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed. I'll kill him in the bed if he's sick, that I may slay him. Verse 16, when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. Saul said unto Michal, why hast thou deceived me so and sent away mine enemy that he is escaped? And you will find that God removes another crutch here from the life of David. He removes his wife. You say, well, Pastor, that may not all be that bad. Don't say that. Shame on you for thinking that. David loses his good position and he loses his wife. No more can he go home to her. No more can he have the security and the warmth of his own bed. No more can he have the flattery and the love of this woman. It's been stripped from him. Interesting. David begins now to feel the squeeze. Now, if you lost your job and you lost your wife, where would the next place go? Where would be the next place logically you would go? I'll tell you where you'd go. The preacher. You'd come to the preacher. Well, that's what David does. Look at verse number 18 of 1 Samuel chapter 19. So David fled and escaped, came to Samuel, to Ramah, and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth. Yeah, David felt the pressure of The confidence of his job being removed, the confidence in his wife being removed. He doesn't have a job. He can't go home. Now he comes to the man of God seeking help. And we find in verse number 17 of that chapter that, or verse number 19, it was told Saul saying, behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah. And they find out that he's with Samuel. And so if you look at chapter 20 and you look at verse number 1, David flees again, and David fled from Naoth. He's lost his job. He's lost his wife. Now the confidence of the man of God in his life has been moved and torn away from him. And now he's feeling the squeeze. We know what it is to feel the squeeze. And when the squeeze of pressure comes on you and I, man, I don't have my job. I don't have that security. I don't have my wife's security. I don't have the security of the preacher. Now David feels like, I got to do something. I got to do something. So look where he goes. He goes to Jonathan. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 20. He came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? What is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? He says, I got to have answers. I'm going to the inside man. We all have an ace in the hole, don't we? We all have that one final thing that we could clutch onto. If things really get rough, I can always go home to mama. If things really get rough, I can always cash out. If things really get rough, I can always go this direction. Well, David thought, man alive, things are rough. Oh, I know Jonathan. So he goes to Jonathan. Would you look at chapter 20, verse number 42? Jonathan said to David, go in peace. Leave. For as much as we've sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. He's lost his job. He's lost the security of his wife. He's lost the security of the man of God. Now he's lost the crutch of his only hope, his inside man, lost his friend. But God wasn't finished. God had one more place he had to take David. Watch this. It's phenomenal what happens in 1 Samuel chapter 21. Look at verse number 10. In verse Samuel 21, verse number 10, David arose. And he fled that day for fear of Saul, and he went to Achish, the king of Gath. You have got to be kidding me. Gath? Goliath was from Gath. You just killed Goliath. Why would you go to Gath? Why would you run to our enemies? Have you lost your mind? Keep reading. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before him. Now, if you remember earlier, he behaved himself how with Saul? Wisely. Wisely he behaved himself with Saul. Now he is brought to a position where he's got to change his behavior. Now, look. He changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled, that means take his fingernails, and scratched on the doors of the gates and let his saliva, his spittle, fall down upon his beard like the position of a madman. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, you see the man is mad. He's mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen? That ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence, shall this fellow come into my house? Here you go. Now watch this. We're driving somewhere. We're going to do fine. Conqueror, the cave dweller. Should have gone forward. Life should have been great. God said, I know you're a man after my heart, David. God said, I know you're a man after my glory, but I want to make sure you're a man after me and me alone. So God began to pull him. God began to pull those support beams. God began to make it where David no longer had anything possibly rest himself on. And the pressure came in and it changed his behavior. By the way, I've seen a lot of Christians change their behavior when the slots have been pulled out. Really, truth tells, what do we trust in? You've seen it maybe in your own life. Things been stripped away. Our behavior begins to change. It's not long we run to our enemies. It's not wrong that we forget about
our God. Would you look at what David did in verse number 8 of chapter 21? This is unbelievable. David first went to Ahimelech, all right? And David is afraid for his life. And David goes in verse number 8 of chapter 21 and he says, "Is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." David said, "I am afraid. Give me a sword." Now I ask you a question. Was it not fearful to go up before Goliath? Yes, it was. Did David not forget his own words in verse 47 of chapter 17? Listen to what he said earlier. "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with," what, church? "Sword and spear, but for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Earlier, in a position of conqueror, he said, "I don't need a sword and I don't need a spear. I need the Lord." Over here, when the pressure comes on, he says, "Give me a sword. Give me a sword. I got to protect myself. I got to fight." Boy, can we not relate to that? Can we not relate to when things are going well and all of a sudden we're stripped of things that we have confidence in? "Give me a sword. I got to take over." Watch what happens. Watch what happens in the rest of this passage, Psalm, or in 1 Samuel chapter number 22. "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave." Pastor, why would God do this? Why does God do this in our lives? Why does God strip us from things, good things? So why would he do that? Why would he let him lose his job? And why would he bring him to those positions? Why couldn't he have the influence of the man of God? Why couldn't he have his friend? And how come he got to a position that was so desperate? God does those things because usually those things can become God to us. Listen to what Isaiah wrote. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Pastor, it's hard for God to uphold us. We're leaning on other things. Say, "Well, I don't do that, Pastor. That's not me." Well, we don't know until those other things are pulled out from under us. Oh. Why would he do that? I'll tell you exactly why he did that. He did it to David for the same reason he does it to you and I. He knows the future. He knew that the line of Christ was coming through David. He knew David would be in wilderness. He knew David would not know the love of women. He knew that David would not know and have access to the man of God in the capacity that he wanted. He knew that David would be on the run. And so he's preparing David. He's saying, "David, I'm going to do great things and I'm going to get glory, but I want to know that you're a man after me and me alone." Boy, that's a powerful lesson. Powerful lesson. The path of Adullam was no fun. Now I have to do three things. You've got to walk with me, because if I read verse number 1 of chapter 22, I can't just read it in its entirety and just be enough. You have to read this verse in parts. So I want you to know in verse 15, a madman, a man with his own spit running down his beard, with his own hands bleeding because he had to feign that position, the Bible says, "Therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam." Now find Psalm 142. Please find in the book of Psalms, Psalm 142. In Psalm 142, you have the writings of David while he was in this cave. This sheds light on what God is about ready to do. Here he is, David, in this position, stripped of everything. Psalm 142, you'll see at the top, your Bible may say, a prayer when he was in the cave. "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication." Yeah, because there was nobody else to make supplication to. He's in a deep, dark cave. He's all by himself. Sometimes God places us in those positions where we're all by ourselves, where we're flat on our backs. So we look up. "I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. God, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul."
Do you see and know the despair and desolation? Here is a man who's been stripped of all confidence, and all crutches. And his heart is just ripped apart in despair. And he says, God, no man cared for my soul. But in the last part of this verse, we find out why David was a man after God's own heart. Look at verse number 5. I cried unto thee, O Lord, and I said, thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. David has been brought to a position now where God is able to use him. He's been stripped of everything but God and God alone. No refuge. Listen to what Matthew Henry says about refuge. He said, David cried unto the Lord. Said, he knowest me and cares for me when no one else will. He will not forsake me when other men do. Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. I depend on thee to be so. My refuge to save me from being miserable. My portion to make me happy. Oh, the cave that he was in was but a poor refuge. The Lord, thy name is a strong tower, and they that run into it shall be saved. Thou art my refuge in whom alone I shall think myself safe. Thou art my portion. Everything else is a refuge of lies and a portion of no value. Thou art so in the land of the living. What are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say that God had put David in that position. David cried out in God. David said, I've got no refuge but you. I've got no portion, no inheritance, no help but you. Now cry and you will deliver. Now you and I know what that's like. Process of having every crutch and confidence removed in our life is painful. It's unstable. For some, it's represented by broken romance, marriage, heart. Person you felt that God had for you has vanished or hurt you deeply. Some, it's the death of a dream. For others, it was that person you had hope in, and it gets stripped away. Now you're left with a choice. Do I quit, or do I turn to God and God alone for refuge? I wonder today, if you're getting blown about by the storm of life, Christian. You don't feel like you have any refuge. Do not neglect the God of our refuge. Pastor, why is it not time to quit? If you would look at 1 Samuel 22, you will see ministries coming. Ministries coming. What do you mean? David's in no position to minister. Oh, I'll show you in just a minute he is. But in verse number 1, he says that when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, under pressure, and everyone that was in debt, that means has more creditors than they could even shake a stick at. And everyone that was discontented, means wrong or mistreated, in bitterness of soul, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. We know these men as David's mighty men. But before they were mighty men, they were distressed, they were in debt, and they were discontented. And here David is, and God has stripped him of all crutches, so he has God and God alone, and he's in the cave. And he turns to God, he says, you will be my refuge. You will be my portion. And God says, here comes the ministry. Here it comes. And the men come to him. Go to Psalm 57. We're almost done. Walk with me to Psalm 57. Here's another psalm he writes when he's in the cave. And I want you to see the power. You saw the prayer of Adullam. I want you to see the power of Adullam. Watch what happens in David's life in Psalm 57. There he is in the cave. There he is with nobody other than God himself. Be merciful unto me, O God, written in the cave when he fled from Saul. O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Until these calamities be overpassed, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. God, that's marvelous. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, speaking of the men now that are around him.
And I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are fallen. Speaking of Saul themselves. Verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake up, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Pastor, what happened? You had a man come to a cave, totally stripped of everything, even his own self-respect. In that cave, you had a man who walked with God and a man who just said, God, you will be my refuge. And I submit myself to that refuge. I fix my heart upon you. You'll defend me. I'll trust you. One more psalm and we're done. Psalm 34. It's the whole catalyst of the message. Didn't do you any good to sit there if you don't go to Psalm 34. Dave went from conqueror, cave dweller. Now he goes to a man, power of God. Man who's after God and God alone. Stripped of everything. In the middle of a storm and people's lives, people seeking to kill him. No place to turn. God brings him to that deep, dark, smelly cave. In that cave, he pours out his soul to God. Psalm 34, David comes out of that cave with a thought for us. Look at verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and deliver them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked. They that hate righteousness shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Pastor, what did David learn in the cave? He learned what God wanted him to learn. God wanted David to be a man after God and God alone. God said, David, when everything is in a storm around you, I want you to know that I am nigh to a broken heart. I bet you David went in, well, we know he did. David went in there in Psalm 142 and he spilled out his heart unto God. He said, God, I'll trust you. That cold, damp cave just became the most tender, sweet, intimate little huddle between God and David that you could ever imagine. A shelter in the time of storm. Pastor, what's that for me? I'm here to tell you, church member, when the storm's all about us, he's our refuge. And God's people said so many times, when it first happens, we run home, we run to the preacher, we run to our ace in the hole. That leads us to the end of our sanity. God says, I'll be your portion. I'll be your refuge in the land of the living. There hath not failed one word of all he hath promised. Would you look at verse number 1 of chapter 34? I will bless the Lord at all times. Different song now than David, isn't it? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them, that fear him and deliver them. And here's the message to the discouraged and the discontent and the indebted and the distressed. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there's no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I'll teach you fear of the Lord. God, that's marvelous. David said, my whole life was in upheaval, but I'll teach you. Let me teach you something. Fear him. Know the Lord. He's a marvelous refuge. You don't believe me? Taste and see. He's good. Are you afraid? No one to them that fear him. You don't need to be in any position. David came out of that cave ready for God. Pastor, a man after God's own heart allows God to fulfill his will. A man after God's glory has a viewpoint of faith and becomes a giant killer. A man after God and God alone, what's he? He is a man who knows the peace of refuge and gives praise to his glorious God. Now, I'm done, but I make my invitation this way. Church member, are you seated there, those that know Christ? Are you seated there with the peace of God to the praise of our God? Or as the crutches are being pulled out, are we feigning ourselves? Some may be in the cave, and we're hiding. Would to God nobody find me? It's time there to pour out our soul. Know the refuge of Jesus Christ. You may be here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. You say, Pastor, there's no peace in my life anywhere. My life is a total whirlwind. It's a storm. Well, I want you to know something. There's a storm stopper. His name is Jesus. He's the great refuge. The tower of strength. He'll take you from your sin and he'll redeem you and hide you under the shelter of his wing. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. That sounds too simple. You know, I thought of an illustration, a way to illustrate the foolishness of simplicity of Christ. I walked up and down the aisles today and I prayed, God, there's got to be a way to illustrate the simplicity of Christ. God gave me an illustration. Here it is. We live in South Florida. We know what hurricanes are all about. I want you to imagine for me that we got hit with a hurricane tonight. And we'd been given a lot of warning. We had watched Max Mayfield and everybody, and they had told us the storm was coming. And they said that storm was coming down Sunrise Boulevard. And they had that thing pinpointed to such a degree that they knew we were on the dirty side. They knew that we were going to have severe wind and rain and tornadoes and flying debris, and they were urging everybody to prepare. So we go and we buy a couple of batteries and we do some things, some water, just some things to kind of satisfy us. Well, we can make it a day if this happens. But as the hour approaches, we begin to get comfortable. The sky's kind of clear before a storm and kind of walk out and things get kind of busy, and we sit down in our house and we just get distracted. We start thinking about our hurricane shutters. A lot of work to go out there and put those hurricane shutters down. I'm not rich like some people. I don't just hit a button. I got to go drill plywood. You know, I'm so tired. I'm just not going to pull those things down. I got water and batteries. I'll be okay. So we sit in our house and the storm comes. I don't know about you, but in the last storm, my doors got blown off the hinges. My front door sucked in and then went out. So we're sitting there. All of a sudden, the storm gets pretty bad. The house began to crack. All of a sudden, we see debris. Next thing we know, here comes debris. Debris comes through the window. I have a family. One of those pieces of debris hits one of my family. There in the middle of that storm, she lies. Help's coming, bleeding profusely. Her life. We would grieve. I don't know when, but one day we would have to answer the question, Sir, did your home not have shutters? Sir,
did you not have shutters? Yes, sir, I had shutters. Why? Why wouldn't you put them down? It's coming down Sunrise Boulevard. It was coming right past your house. Why wouldn't you put them down? Well, it seemed kind of hard. You're here without Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. The storm of judgment is coming. And you can go and do whatever you want to do to make yourself feel better. But if you don't get inside the shelter of Jesus Christ, my friend, you are in a very dangerous and vulnerable position. It's too hard. Oh, there's difficulty. That man had to be willing to get out and pull his shutters down. I got to be willing to turn from my sin and turn to the Lord Jesus. But I want you to know something. When the shelter comes around you, the grace of God redeems you, and you have been given life. You join with a songwriter who said, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see him. There is no shelter. A man after God. Would you stand? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, man after God, God alone, David, such a marvelous man. You brought him to the position where he had no confidence left, no crutch left, so he would have you. Other songwriters have written, when you come to the place where you're all we have, we'll find you're all we need. I know there are some of God's people today and they're going through the storm. They've been everywhere and everyone, but peace eludes them. Because they've not found shelter in the refuge of God, the refuge of Christ. David said, thou art my portion. Pastor, would he be? You're nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. There are some here today, Father, that do not know Christ as their Savior. The storm of life is blowing their doors off. Oh, there's a marvelous storm stopper. He made the wind and the rain. He can secure them for all eternity from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin. Praise God, one day from the presence of sin. God, it's my prayer that we would take shelter in Jesus Christ. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You say, Pastor, I know God. I'm saved. I know Christ lives in my heart. But I'm like David. I'm being stripped. I'm in a position where God is all I have. I need courage, Pastor, and I need prayer that I'd not quit, that I would find refuge in him. Pray for me, Pastor. I need prayer today. If you want me to pray, lift your hand. I'll pray for you. I won't call your name. Won't I? Of course. Put them down. Say, Pastor, I'm here today, and I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I'm out here in the storm, and I am being blown away. Oh, why don't you let him put the shelter of his grace over your windows? Say, would he do that for me? Yeah? How do you know? Because he did it for me. He did it for people in this room. Pastor, I'm not saved today. If I was to die, I'd go to hell, but I want to be saved, Pastor. I don't want to go any further in my sin. I want Christ. Pastor, I don't even know what to do, but would you pray for me? Pray, Pastor, pray that I'd get saved. You would want me to pray, just lift your hand. I won't embarrass you. Just lift it. Let me see it. Pray for me, Pastor. God, pray for me. I see that hand. They put it down. Anybody else? Heavenly Father, you know the hearts. You know the hearts. Our invitation, have your way and your will. Love you, Jesus.